And we're holding by the Mishnah on Yud Tes Amud Beis. Mishnah says, HaKol Kshir Likris Es HaMegillah, everybody is kosher to lay in the Megillah, Chutz Mecheresh Shoit of a Cotton, with the exception of Cheresh. Now, usually Cheresh in Gemara terminology usually means a deaf mute, meaning somebody who was born deaf or became deaf at a very young age and therefore never learned to speak either. Now here, obviously, if they're laying in the Megillah, then they're not that kind, or they're not that kind of deaf mute. We're just talking about they're deaf in the sense they, so therefore, so they can speak, but they can't hear themselves speaking. Tosfos points out. So a cheresh shoita, a person with a not normal person, an imbecile or the various we'll have in Chagiga in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, we'll have some definitions of what's considered a shoita in halacha. The cotton or a child. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, the cotton, Rabbi Yehuda says it is kosher for a child to read the Megillah and be motzi adults. Tosfos discusses now, are we talking about a cotton who is of the age of chinuch? If we're talking about a child below the age of chinuch, then of course he can't be motzi other people. And if we're talking about that he is of the age of chinuch, so what's the problem? He's chayav dirabanan, so is everybody else. So why can't he be motzi the other people if he's dirabanan and they're dirabanan? So Tosfos answer is because the fact is that with adults you have one dirabanan. You have the whole concept of reading the Megillah, of course, is dirabanan. So they're chayav dirabanan. With a child, you have a dirabanan on top of a dirabanan. Namely, the child himself is not of the age, he's not bar mitzvah yet. So therefore, his chiyuv of any mitzvah is only dirabanan. And here, his chiyuv of reading Megillah is dirabanan. So to that extent, he's the same as everybody else. But you have two dirabanans. So therefore, he can't be motzi people who are chayav based on only one dirabanan. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says that it is kosher for a katan to lay in, as we're going to learn in the Gemara where he gets that from. So the Gemara says, "Man tana cheresh di eved nami loy." Which tana is it that's saying that not only a cheresh can't read l'chatchila, but you could have said after all that b'di'eved, if he reads the Megillah, then b'di'eved he can be motzi people. So who is it that's saying that he cannot be motzi people even b'di'eved? Because our Mishnah is saying chutz mecheresh shoyt b'katan. Amr of Masna, Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Masna says specifically that would be according to Rabbi Yosi. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Brachas regarding saying Krishma. Hakuris Shema v'loy Shmiya la'oznoi. If a person says Shema and does not hear what he himself is saying. So now we're not necessarily talking about he's a deaf person. We're talking about, for example, that he's only mouthing the words and he's not actually saying them in a way that he can hear it with his own ears. Yotza. So the Tanakhama of that Mishnah says he's Yotza. Rabbi Yosi and the Lo Yotza. And Rabbi Yosi says he doesn't. So therefore, by this, the assumption is that, in other words, Rabbi Yosi is saying that you have to hear what you're saying. So therefore, that would apply to Megillah as well. So you don't hear because you're deaf. Therefore, Rabbi Yosi says you can't be motzi people. So the question is, we might Rabbi Yosi he v'di'eved nami loy. Okay, but who says, why does Rabbi Masna have to specifically say that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yosi and say that it means even v'di'eved, he can't be motzi? Dilma Rabbi Yehuda, why can't we just as well say that? Why can't we just as well say that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, or l'chatchila hu d'loy, and the reason why? Why would we be interested in making this Mishnah work specifically according to Rabbi Yehuda? Tosfos says because the halacha there in connection with Shema is like Rabbi Yehuda, that even if you don't hear the actual words of Shema you're saying, you're only mouthing them, you are in fact still Yotze. So therefore, the Gemara wants to try to make our Mishnah work according to Rabbi Yehuda. So why can't we do that? Why can't we say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda? Only l'hatchila are we saying that he can't be motzi other people. Ha di'eved shapajami, but b'di'eved it would be fine. So what forces Rav Masna to say that our Mishnah means even b'di'eved you can't be motzi people? And the answer is lo yistapadach. You can't possibly think that way, that our Mishnah would be a coin to Rav Yehuda. After all, I mentioned a cheresh together with a shoyt of a cotton in the same breath, meaning ma shoyt of a cotton di'eved nami loy, just like with them, they can't be motzi other people, even b'di'evet, because there's no particular reason we could. I mean, a cheresh, at least, again, when we're talking about a cheresh who can't see, who can't speak and can't, a cheresh who can't speak and can't hear, in general, halacha considers him to be of subnormal intelligence, because if he can't communicate with people, then how is he ever going to learn something? So here we're saying, we're not talking about that kind, we're talking about a person who is deaf, but is still able to speak. So he's not considered subnormal intelligence. So we're saying, but nevertheless, we're putting him in the same category as the shoita and the cotton. And with those, there's no reason to think they would be able to be motzi anybody. Because after all, they don't have the normal intelligence to be considered a bar chiyuv. So they're clearly not motzi anybody. So ma shoyt v'katan v'yevad nami loy. So just like they can't be motzi people even to the yevad, af cheresh v'yevad nami loy. The same way the cheresh, presumably the Mishnah means that they can't even be motzi people to the yevad. So that could only work according to Rabbi Yosi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that wouldn't work, because if Rabbi Yosi allows it by Shema, even though he doesn't hear the words, then he would allow it by Megillah as well. The Gemara says, why? So who says that means anything? The Dilma Hakid Issa of a Hakid Issa. Maybe all it is the three that we mentioned in our Mishnah. Each one has its own rules. The Cheresh has one rule. The Shoyt of a Cotton have a different rule. Not necessarily are we saying that all of them are that all of them are the same in this regard. And the answer is no. We still can't say that our Mishnah would go according to Rabbi Yehuda, mi the katani sefer, Rabbi Yehuda machshir the cotton, because the Mishnah continues that Rabbi Yehuda says it is kosher with a cotton. Miklal dereish alav Rabbi Yehuda, implying that the first part of the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, because of course, if he's arguing later in the Mishnah, it means that the Tana Kama is not Rabbi Yehuda. Still, the Gemara doesn't like that, but duma kula Rabbi Yehuda. Still, maybe we could say that it is according to Rabbi Yehuda. And me dummy, because after all, how is it comparable? Racial psula b'seifel k'shera, that the first part of the Mishnah is telling us who's possible to lay in the Megillah. The second one is telling us, the second part, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir b'katan, is telling us who's kosher. Rashi actually takes out this line. Rashi said that the line that we have over here, with Yom HaKulah Rabbi Yehuda, me dummy, racial psula b'seifel k'shera, Rashi says we shouldn't be good at it. It's a lishne yaseira. It's just like it's unnecessary wording. The Gemara is going to clarify why we can say that the whole Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Duma Kula Rabbi Yehuda, maybe you could say the entire Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, or Tre Gavni Cotton Katani La. We're talking about two different kinds of cotton. There's a cotton who's not yet of the age of Chinuch, and there's a cotton who is of the age of Chinuch. Rashi defines that for this purpose, the age of Chinuch would be 9 or 10 years old. Mefarshim ask, actually, I mean, we find that in connection, for example, with fasting on Yom Kippur, but where do we get data that when it comes to laying in Megillah, it would be 9 or 10, but okay, that's what Rashi is saying, presumably below that age, the kid is probably not able to read the Megillah. So maybe the Mishnah is talking about two kinds of cotton, the chsuri mechsura, in which case, the Mishnah maybe is missing a phrase, v'hochi katoni, it means to say like this, hakol k'sherin likrus es ha-Megillah chutz mecheresh shoyt v'cotton, so those three cannot lay in the Megillah and be motzi other people, but the Mishnah would be continuing implying by med vonam amurim b'katan shalei gila chinuch. When would that apply? Only if the katan is not yet of the age of chinuch, so he's below 9 or 10 years old. Avol b'katan shalei gila chinuch. But if he is of the age of chinuch, afilu lachatzila, then the Mishnah would be saying that he could even be motzi other people lachatzila. Share of Yehuda machshir b'katan, because Rabbi Yehuda says that a katan who's of the age of chinuch is able to be motzi other people. So why can't they do that? And that allows us to say that the Mishnah is like the Rabbi Yehuda, which again, as Tosfos said, the advantage of that is that the halacha is like the Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Shema, and therefore our Mishnah would be correct according to halacha, rather than like Rabbi Yosi, where the halacha is not like him as far as Shema. So why can't we do that? What forces Rabbi Masna to say that our Mishnah is specifically according to Rabbi Yosi? So the answer is b'mayu kimta, Rabbi Yehuda v'di'evad. Okay, but how are you trying to explain? You're trying to say then that our Mishnah goes after Rabbi Yehuda, and saying that only v'di'evad. In other words, you're going to say that when Rabbi Yehuda says hakodesh shema v'loy shmiya la'oznoi, he's only saying v'di'evad, and in our Mishnah he's saying that if a kid reads then v'di'evad maybe it's kosher. But what about, we have a braisa that Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, taught. When you have a deaf person who can speak but who can't hear. So again, in other words, he became deaf later in life. So he's not considered to be of subnormal intelligence because he can speak, he can communicate, but he can't hear. Terda l'chatchila, such a person is able to give truma l'chatchila, even though he needs to make a bracha and he can't hear the bracha. Nevertheless, l'chatchila even, he could be giving truma. So now, if we were to say that Rabbi Yehuda hold, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that b'dieved, that only b'dieved can somebody who doesn't hear, a cheresh. So again, we're talking about the cheresh who can't hear, that Rabbi Yehuda would be saying only b'dieved, that b'dieved he would be motzi people, just a chachila he shouldn't. But here we have another b'raisa so where we see that such a person can give truma chachila. Well then money. So who would that be like? According to Rabbi Yehuda, he would only allow such a thing to the Yevid. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, not even to the Yevid. So necessarily, that forces us to say that Rabbi Yehuda rather would hold that a cheresh hamadabah v'enishanea, where you can speak but can't hear, could read Megillah even l'chatchila, and our Mishnah would not be like him. Our Mishnah would be like Rabbi Yossi, that he can't even do it to the Yevid. The Mishnah about the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Breda, Rabbi Shimon Tazi's Braisa about Truma, then would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. But, so that necessarily requires then that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Because if we said that our Mishnah was like Rabbi Yehuda and saying you couldn't do it b'dieved, then we're stuck. We don't have a third opinion to attribute that Braisa to. Now, of course, we can't say Rabbi Yehuda Breda, Rabbi Shimon Tazi can have his own opinion. He's not a Tana. He's an Amora. He's quoting, he's teaching the Braisa, but the Braisa comes from before his times, so it has to represent one of the existing opinions. So therefore, that requires us to say, in other words, so again, there's two possibilities. We could say Rabbi Yehuda allows it l'chatchila, and Rabbi Yossi doesn't even allow it to be effort, and our Mishnah therefore would be according to Rabbi Yossi. It has to be that way, because otherwise, if there's no opinion that says that it's allowed l'chatchila, then who would be the author of the Braisa about doing it? The other possibility we would have said is to say that Rabbi Yehuda only allows it b'dieved, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi not even b'dieved. But if we do that, then there's nobody who says that you could do it l'chatchila, and then it wouldn't fit with this last braisa reported. So that's what forces Rabbi Masna to say that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yossi, and to say that Rabbi Yehuda would allow it even l'chatchila. Okay, the problem with that is the elamai Rabbi Yehuda v'afil l'chatchila. Okay, so what are you telling me? That last braisa that we just quoted is that Rabbi Yehuda would say that even l'chatchila, a person is able to do things that require him to say something and to hear what he's saying, such as making a bracha and separating truma, or such as saying shema, etc. But ela hodatanya, what about, we have yet another braisa. Lo yivarach adam b'chus hamazin b'livay, a person is not allowed to bench in his heart, meaning just thinking the words, the imberach yotza, but if he did make the bracha that way, then he's yotza. Mani. So who would that be like? Lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbi Yossi. Then it still wouldn't work according to either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi, where we see that it's only b'dieved. Either Rabbi Yehuda afil l'chatchila. If you're going to try to tell me that the braisa about truma is according to Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yehuda would allow it even l'chatchila. Either Rabbi Yossi afil d'dieved nami lo, and Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't, and Rabbi Yossi wouldn't even allow it b'dieved. Now Tosfos says, okay, but what's the point of comparing birchas hamazon to any of these other things? Megillah, you could say that, listen, since Shema, you have to hear what you're saying, because the Pasuk says Shema, as we're going to say soon in the Gemara, that it means you have to hear what you're saying. So fine, when the Chachamim set up the concept of learning Megillah, then they set it up similar to that Daraisa and said that you have to hear it. But Birkas HaMazon is itself Daraisa. It doesn't say Shema by it. So Tosfos says, okay, the Gemara knew that we can, in fact, learn the Halachas of Birkas HaMazon from Kriyashma, and therefore, if Kriyashma you have to hear, then Birkas HaMazon you also have to hear. So in other words, the bottom line is, whichever way we learn it, whether we say that Rabbi Yehuda allows it b'chatchila, or whether we say that he only allows it b'dieved, and either way, Rabbi Yossi does not even allow it b'dieved, we seem to be stuck over here, one way or the other, considering the various braisas that we had, where we had our Mishnah itself, we said maybe we could learn either way, but we had a braisa saying that such a person could take truma and make the bracha on it even l'chatchila. And then we have another one by Birkas HaMazon, on the other hand, which says that he can only do it b'dieved. So you have three opinions, apparently, and you only have two tanoim to attribute them to. The answer is, la'olam Rabbi Yehuda. We can answer that the Braisa about that the last Braisa we quoted, the one about saying Birkas Hamazon, is in fact according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda would in fact say that it is kosher to do that, to just mouth the words and not hear them, even lahafchila. But like Kasha, Hadigay, Hadirabu. But there's no contradiction, because one the Braisa that says that he can do it lahafchila is Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion. The one about Birkas Hamazon, that it's only the Bi'evid, would be according to his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Akorda es Shema, Sarech Shashmi al Ozne. When a person is saying Shema, he has to hear what he's saying with his ears. Shenema Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which means Hashmei al Oznecha, make your ears hear, Mashat Amotzi Mipicha, what you're saying out with your mouth. So therefore, so we see, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that you do have to do that. So now we can say we have three tenorim, and therefore we can attribute all three things to them. We have Rabbi Yossi saying that even b'di'evid no good. We have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying only b'di'evid is kosher b'lachfila not. And Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda mentions that in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's name, and Rabbi Yehuda himself disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and says it's mutter even lachfila. The Braisa continues, Rameo says no. When the Pasuk continues, Asher anochi mitzavecha hayom al levavecha, that these words, which I command you today, should be on your heart, meaning, acha kavana salev, hein hein advarim, meaning that it all depends on the kavana of your heart. It's not necessary for you to actually hear it. Well, the Gemara says, hashtag the osis lahachti. Okay, now that you've just mentioned Rameo's opinion, which we didn't know of before, then akibu tema, Rabbi Yehuda kerabe svidale, then we don't have to say anymore that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We can say he agrees with him. Vahadatani Yehuda bereidin Rabshim ben Pazi, Rameo. The Braisa that we quoted about giving Truma Latchila, that would not be according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's true, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that it's only b'di'evid. Rabbi Meir would be the one who says that's fine even Latchila. So we still have three opinions, but instead of them being Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, now we can say it's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says even b'di'evid it's no good. You have to hear what you're saying, and that would be what our Mishnah is saying. Rabbi Yehuda would be saying chila no, b'di'evid yes, and Rabbi Meir would say even chila if you don't hear, then it's fine, and therefore he would say that a deaf person like this could lay in the Megillah and be Yossi.
How do we know that what Rabbi Meir says about Kriyas Shema, he would hold the same about our case?
Well, all the more so. I mean, if he says that even by Shema, where it says Shema Yisrael, he still says that it doesn't matter that it doesn't that it's Acha Kavanas Halev Hein and Advarim. How much more so where it doesn't say the word Shema? That was in fact what Tosfos was asking before. What made the Gemara think that there should be a problem with not hearing Birkas Hamazon anyway if it doesn't say Shema by it? And the assumption is that we learn Birkas Hamazon from Shema, but Rabbi Meir is saying even by Shema itself, you don't need to actually hear it, even though it says the word Shema. So therefore, there's no reason to think that he would say any different by Birkas Hamazon or by Megillah, and therefore, according to him, it would be fine, even though you don't hear.
Shema is Doraisa. Say Shema.
Most opinions hold that Shema is Doraisa. There is an opinion in the Gemara in Brachas that saying Shema is only Dirabanan. Megillah is definitely Dirabanan, and Birkas Hamazon is definitely Doraisa.
So the reasoning is based on the fact that most say that Shema is Doraisa. Is that correct?
Well, no. I mean, that factors into it. But again, as far as Megillah, we don't really need it. Megillah is Dirabanan anyhow. So even if Shema is Dirabanan, it wouldn't really matter much. But we're saying that even by Shema, where it says the word Shema, nevertheless, you still, according to the Meir, don't have to hear it. So the same thing would apply to, to reading Megillah. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda machshir the cotton. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kosher for a cotton to lane and be moitzi other people, a cotton who's of the age of chinuch, as we said. So the Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll give you an example. Cotton, how you see, I was a cotton, ukrisiel amailam, Rabbi Tarfon was kain in Lud. And I read the Megillah in front of Rabbi Tarfon and the other chachamim in Lud. So obviously they had no problem with it. That means that it's good. Amr Uloi, however, the chacham told him, ein mevi'in rayim na cotton. You can't bring proof from a cotton. In other words, you yourself were a cotton, and you're saying about what you did at the time. We can't accept that as valid edus. If you yourself, if there was somebody else there who was over by mitzvah and said that you did it, then we could pay attention to that. But not like this when you yourself were a cotton.
Even though he's a gadol now,
right? So there is There is a Mishnah in Ksubas that says that there are certain things, with things that are only required d'rabbanan, where we do accept testimony for a person that he saw something when he was a child, and now he's saying when he's an adult. So why don't we say that over here by Mikra Megillah? Some Mefoshim explained, because since Mikra Megillah, even though it is d'rabbanan, since we learned previously on Daf Zayin that there is a source for it, a remez there in the Torah, therefore we treat it more like a d'oraisa, and therefore we don't allow, therefore the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Yehuda, we can't accept your testimony about what you did as a child. And after all, I mean, the reason is because a child doesn't necessarily pay attention to all the factors. For all we know, for example, Rabbi Tarfon and the Skanin might have already heard Megillah from somebody else. So yeah. Okay. Tanya. Then we learn in a Braisa, Omer Rebbe. Katne, you see, Rebbe in a later generation says, I was a child with Priscilla Milam Rebbe Yehuda, and I read the Megillah in front of Rebbe Yehuda. So they said to Rebbe, you can't bring a proof from that, because Rebbe Yehuda himself is the one who says that a katan is allowed to. So you can't bring a proof from that. We know that all the other chachamim disagree with him. So the fact that you lay in front of him, okay, he's going for his shita, but that doesn't show that we can accept that for everybody else. Well, that's what we're saying. That's what Rebbe is saying. So the Gemara asks, why do they need to tell Rebbe that? The Lame Relay Ain Mavi and Raimana Cotton. Why didn't they tell him the same thing as they told Rebbe Yehuda, that you can't bring a proof from a cotton? And the Gemara says, you're right, Chod of Oid Khan Relay. They're actually telling him two arguments. Chod of the cotton, Isa. Number one, you were a cotton. So therefore, we can't accept your Adris either. But Oid, I feel a God of the Isa. Second of all, even if you're saying Adris, as that you did, that he did it as a gadol, aim of being raim, and a matter, we still can't bring a proof from what was done in Rabbi Yehuda's own shul, where of course he's the one who holds that a cotton is kosher to do it. You'd have to show that the other chachamim agree with that, and you can't do that. The halacha, of course, is like a chachamim, therefore that a cotton cannot be moitzi anybody in Leinim Megillah. Okay. Mishnah says, the Mishnah now is going to list several things that can only be done by day. So the Mishnah says, in Kurnas Megillah, you cannot read the Megillah by night, that is. I mean, so you have, there's a nighttime and there's a daytime reading, but the daytime reading has to be by day. V'loi Molin, you also can't make a Bris Milah. V'loi Tovlin, you also can't Tovel. Now, Tosfos has a long discussion over here. So first of all, Rashi says the Toveling we're talking about is, for example, a Zog or a Tmei Nes, where they have to count 7 days. We don't say that as soon as the night going into the seventh day comes, then they can already tovel. No, you need to tovel dafka by day. So Rashi explains, it's not that they dafka have to tovel by day, as in like each day, any day after that, they're going to tovel has to be by day. If, let's say, if the Zog's seventh day comes out, let's say on a Sunday, so he has to tovel sometimes. So if he tovel, he can't tovel Motzei Shabbos. He has to, the earliest he can tovel is Sunday morning. But if he doesn't tovel sometime during the day on Sunday, sure, he can tovel Sunday night or Monday morning or whatever. The point is just that he can't tovel before the time. Tosfos gets into a long discussion over here about the various possibilities of what we're talking about as far as tefillah. One is, for example, when it comes to being sprinkled with Parah Adoma water, you have two different tefillahs. You have one where you tovel before they sprinkle you with Parah Adoma water. That one, Tosfos says, could be by night. And then you have another one after he gets sprinkled on the third and the seventh day. That one has to be by day. Then Tosfos also discusses at some length other possibilities. Another possibility is that the tevila we mean over here is dipping the azov into the Parah Adoma water to get ready to sprinkle it. The dipping itself has to take place by day as well. You can't dip it at night and then do the sprinkling in the morning.
What about Tevul Yom,
then does it at night? So that's what it means. You know, Tevul Yom has Tovel during the day, now he's waiting for Ahead of Shemesh. Yeah. So V'loy Mazin, the actual sprinkling itself, cannot be by night, only by day. V'chein Shemeras Yom K'neged Yom Loi Tifol Adjotones Achama, the same way as Shemeras Yom K'neged Yom, which is a woman who had a flow of blood for 1 day or for 2 days, not during the regular time of Hunida. So you have the way it works is that there's a woman's Yemei Nida, and then after the Yemei Nida are over, you have 11 days, which are Yemei Ziva, which are days when potentially there could be Ziva. You have a big machlokas between the Rambam and almost all the other Rishonim, how it works. Is it that immediately after the 11 days of Ziva, immediately begins the 7 days of Nida again? Or is it only that the next days of Nida only begin the next time she has a flow? Whatever the case, if during those 11 days, she has a flow for 1 or 2 days, then she's called a shemeres yom keneged yom. She needs one clean day, and then she can go to the mikveh, and she's tahor and mutter to her husband. So let's say, in other words, that she had the flow on Sunday, so she needs Monday needs to be her clean day, and then she tovels during the day. She tovels during the day on Monday, and once Monday shkia comes, then she's mutter to her husband. If it was both Sunday and Monday, then she needs Tuesday as the clean day. If she has 3 days in succession, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, then already she needs Shiva Naki. We don't do any of those things nowadays, because nowadays we treat women as sort of a combination of Nida and Zaba. So any flow that she has, we have there's the certain takonis of the Chachamim, there's Bnois Yisrael Achmiru Al-Atzman. And with all of that, the result is that she has to have 7 clean days regardless, even if it was only a tiny flow of blood. And she has to toivel by night, as is the halacha with a nida. A nida and a yuledis have to toivel by night, most of the tmeim toivel by day. So now we're saying, shemeres yom keneged yom, when she toivels, it has to be by day. So ad shetonetzachama, all of them have to wait until Netzachama, before they can do any of these things that we're saying in the Mishnah. And the reason is, Rashi says, because before Netzachama is a suffix, whether it's still nighttime. Now, on the other hand, if the Dieved, they did any of these things before, from Alois HaShachar onward, then it's kosher. So laying in the Megillah, or doing a Bris Milah, etc. If they did it after Alois HaShachar, then the Dieved, it's kosher. Mefarshim talk about the Rashba, the Ritva, talk about why does the Mishnah, now the next Mishnah is going to give us a very long list of things that can only be done by day. Why does our Mishnah single out only these 5 things? And the reason is basically because by each of them there's a chiddush that you would have thought that they could be done by night. Megillah, for example, after all, you have a nighttime laying of the Megillah, so maybe the daytime one doesn't have to be after Alois HaShachar or after Netzachama. The mullin, you would say maybe if the milah was done as being done late after the 8th day, then maybe it could be done by night. The tovel and the mazin, all those things you wouldn't know without being told that they have to be done by day. So the Gemara says Menolon. Where do we know that Megillah has to be read dafka after Netzachama, or B'dyevet after Alois HaShachar? The Amar Krah, because the pasuk says Vayom Ma'ilin Yitzkonim Menasim. It says these days are remembered and they're done, implying by Yom Ein Balayla Loi. So only by day, not by night. So the Gemara says Leim Atevi Kiyuvta Rabbi Shur Ben Levi. Well, in that case, does that mean that our Mishnah is a contradiction to Rabbi Shur Ben Levi? The Amar Rabbi Shur Ben Levi Chayiv Adam Likras Is Megillah Balayla Ulshan Noisa Vayom. He said that a person has to lay in the Megillah by night and repeat it by day. So according to him, then, you have a laning by night, and our Mishnah doesn't seem to be implying that.
And we start at night.
And the answer is, Kikatani Adiyoy. You're right, one of our Mishnah is only talking about the daytime laning. There is an interesting idea that some Achronim talk about, that maybe, in fact, in the time of the Mishnah, the halacha was you only needed to lay in the Megillah by day, and only at some later point, after the Shoban Levi said it, did they make the takana that you have to lay in it by night as well. That factors into the question of whether you say Shechiyonu by the daytime laning, because if we say that originally Tachana was the lane by day, then that's the one that deserves the Shechiyonu. So even though you've said Shechiyonu the night before, based on this later Tachana, nevertheless, you would still keep the one by day. Some people don't say Shechiyonu by day, right? In fact, you have a machlokes between the Alter Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek on that. The Alter Rebbe writes in the Siddur that you don't say Shechiyonu by day, but the Tzemach Tzedek disagrees with him and says that you do, and that's what we do. Okay. We said in the mission of Loim Molim Bechula, we said you don't do a bris milah by night. So dichtiva vayeim hashmini yimol, because the pasuk says on the 8th day you should do the bris milah. So you can't do it by night. Okay. V'loi tovelin v'loi mazin Bechula. We said you can't tovel and you can't sprinkle paradrum or water by night. So dichtiva here's our Torah tamei v'gomer vayeim hashmini. The pasuk says that the Torah person should sprinkle paradrum or water on the tamei person on the 7th day. So therefore, it has to be by day. The itkash tevila v'hazoya. You have a hekish between tevila and hazah, namely that the pasuk says after the hazah, it says v'rochatz mamayim, that he has to then go bathe, that he has to go dip in the mikveh. So therefore, if the hazah has to be by day, then so does the tevila. And again, according to one possibility of Tosfos, it means the dipping of the azod. So there also you have a hekish because it mentions that you should dip the azod into the paradrum water and then sprinkle it. We said, We said a Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom is also not allowed to Tovel until Netzach Amma. So the Gemara says, Pshita, obviously. Why should she be any different? We just said, that at most Tmeim cannot Tovel by night, only by day. So why should a Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom be any different? And the answer is, Itzrich. We need to mention it specifically by her, because otherwise you would think to have a kiriya rishona shel zav, because otherwise we would think that her one ri'iyah should be considered like the first ri'iyah of a zav. We learned previously in the first parak of our masechta that when a zav has the first flow that he has does not yet make him a zav. It doesn't give him all the rule of a zav as far as mishkav, moshav, and all that, and heset, and all those things. The first one, he's effectively just a balkeri. Uriyah rishonish al zav itkash balkeri. Now that in turn is there's a hekesh between the first one of a zav and a balkeri. As the pasuk says, this is the rule for a zav and for somebody from whom shichva zera comes out. So ma balkeri tovel b'yom. So just like a balkeri is able to tovel on the same day that he had the keri, he doesn't have to wait until the next day or anything. So you would think, therefore, that zava, you would think that or shemera siyem kineged yom should be able to tovel on the same day. Now, since she can't tovel on that same day, because the pasuk says that all the days when she has her flow is like then her bed and other things like that are like the bed that she's on when she's a nidah. In other words, we're talking about a shemeres yom kineged yom. It's actually Rashi. The Rashi refers to the very last page of Shas, the last daf nidah tells us that. So now it can't be, in other words, on the day of the flow itself, that can't be her clean day, because that day was not a clean day, she had a flow. Therefore, so the Leoya Mias Lev and Mixta Shimur Vatikbo, so maybe it should be good enough that she has at least a little bit of a shimur, she has a watched time by the night, and then she can travel during the night. In other words, what we would say is a Zav who doesn't need any clean, and not a Zav, a Balkeri who doesn't need any clean days at all, he can tovel on the day when he had his keri. A shemeres yom kineged yom. Granted, she can't tovel on that same day, but at least she should be able to tovel on the following night. We should consider that the beginning of that night is her time of shimur, is her time when she's watching to make sure that she doesn't have a flow, and then sometime during that night she can tovel. If it's a vatitvo, then she should be able to tovel. Kamash malon. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that not kivin de boya svira, since she has to count. She has to count only one day, fine, but still, Svira b'yamamahi, then that counting has to be done by day, as the pasuk says, v'safra l'shivas yom. So therefore, it has to necessarily be that she counts by day, so therefore, even a shemeres yom kineged yom, even though, in a certain sense, she's only like a one-time zav, she doesn't need seven clean days, but she does need one clean day, and that has to be counted by day. So therefore, that's what she's going to need to do. She's going to need to, so she had the flow on Sunday. Monday is going to have to be her clean day. Sometime during the day on Monday, she could total. And then at the end of the day, she'll have a head of change.
It's not considered like a Balkeri, doesn't need to count.
So that's the thing. So our Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom does need to count. She needs to count one day. A Balkeri doesn't need to count any days. And a one-time male Zub doesn't need to count any days either, because he's like a Balkeri. We said in the mission of a cholin sha'asim icha'ola omen ha'shachar kosher. We said, on the other hand, if any of these people, we said all these things that have to be done after Netzach Amma, if b'di'evad they did them after alois ha'shachar, then it's still kosher. Menahanim yili, so where do we know that from? Amarava, the amakrava yikra lekim ma'ur yoim. The pasuk says Hashem called the daytime, the light daytime, meaning lameir uba kro yoim. It means as it's becoming light, it's already considered day. So even though you don't have the light, is not yet, the sun has not risen above the horizon, but since you already have light in the sky from Alois HaShachar, then already that's enough to be considered day. So the Gemara asks Elameata. So by that logic, when you say V'lachoshech Kora Loila, when the pasuk continues that darkness Hashem called night, what does that mean? Are we going to say the same thing L'machshech Uvah Kora Loila? So does it mean as it's getting dark after Shkia, it's already considered night? Hokai Malon, Da'ad Seisa Kachavim, La'ad Lailahu. We know for a fact that until Seisa Kachavim, it's not considered night. I mean, the only reason why, for example, with Shabbos and Yom Tov, why we start the Mashkiah is only because we don't know exactly whether we have a suffix about Bein HaShemoshes, about the time between Shkiah and Seis. But in principle, if we knew exactly when it begins, then we could begin at that time. So until Seis HaKachavim is actually considered daytime. And it's funny, you know, we just quoted the last blot of Shas. This point is discussed on the first blot of Shas at the beginning of Brachos. That the name is Sikorin Shema Ba'avis, Mishal Shakan Maknasim Lassa B'Trumasim, and that's Seis HaKachavim. So if Vlachoshach Kara Loila doesn't mean that as it becomes dark, it's already considered nighttime, then how can Vayikra Elikim Lo'or Yom mean as it's becoming light, it's already considered daytime? So that doesn't work.
There's no proof.
Right. So, rather, Rav Zeira says the proof comes from a pasuk in Nechem. So he's describing over there how they're building the walls of how they're rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim, and the various enemies of the Jews, the Kusim and whatever, are harassing them and trying to prevent them from doing the work. So he says, "Va'anachnu oisim b'malacha." So we were doing the work. V'chetzia machzikin barim machim. Half of the people were holding spears to be ready at a moment's notice to defend them against attacks. Me'alois hashachar ad seis pechavim. From alois hashachar until seis pechavim. So you see that already alois hashachar is considered daytime. The Omer, and the Pasuk continues, V'hoya lanu, v'hoyu, really, lanu halayla mishmer, that the night was for us a time for watching, and the daytime was a time for doing the law. So the one says, my V'omer, why do we need that second Pasuk? What is it adding to the proof? Because if we only had the first proof, v'chitema misha'ola omen ha'shachar, lav yamama, we could say that maybe alois ha'shachar is not yet considered the daytime, or miki arva shim shalelia, and on the other hand, maybe already shkia is enough for it to be considered night. The iu machdami machashli, we were just saying the people were very eager to do the work, so therefore they were willing to start early and work late. That doesn't necessarily show that, just because it says they were working from alois ha'shachar to tzeis pechavim, doesn't show that that's the definition of day and night. Trashma, v'hoyu lanu halayla mishma, v'ayem malacha, where we see that Nehemiah is describing that the daytime is the time for work. In other words, the implication is the whole time they were working from Alois HaShachar until Seis HaKachavim is called daytime. So that's the proof. Okay. As Rashi had said on the Mishnah, we wait till Netzach Hamah in order for it not to be a suck. But nevertheless, we see
the previous example you gave didn't prove it. Why again? You went very fast.
Because the first pasuk from Nehemiah that says that they were working from Alois HaShachar until Seis HaKachavim, that doesn't necessarily prove in and of itself that that's the definition of daytime. It means, in other words,
no, in the previous example, not this example, the previous one.
Which, from Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom? Because he said, if Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom means that as it's becoming light, it's already considered day, then V'lachosha Paraloida would have to mean as it's becoming dark, it's already considered night, and we know that it's not. In Halacha, nighttime begins with Seis HaKachavim. So the
Okay, speak slow a bit, because some of the words I can't hear.
Sorry. If Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom means as it's becoming light, it's already considered daytime, then the parallel would be V'lachoshech Kor Aloila would be as it's becoming dark, it's already considered night. But it's not so, because night in Halacha only begins Seis HaKachavim. Therefore, we can't say that the first half of that pasuk shows that as it's becoming light, it's already considered daytime.
Okay.
Okay. Mishnah says, Kol Ayom Kosher, so now the Mishnah is going to give a very long list of things that can be done any time during the day. So now the Ritva discusses, so now why did the, if we have previous Mishnah which told us five things that have to be done by day, why didn't just combine the two Mishnahs together? And the answer is because, again, the ones that we had in the previous Mishnah, there was a certain chidush in all of them that we wouldn't have known that they were only kosher by day and not by night. Now, in our Mishnah, we're going to bring the whole list of other ones, but what we're going to do is we're going to first mention Kriyas HaMegillah because, in other words, it means Kriyas HaMegillah, etc. It means Kriyas HaMegillah as well as the other ones that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah. Also, the Me'iri points out, the fact is, I mean, our Masechta is mainly talking about Kriyas HaMegillah, so therefore there's more reason to stress that. So the Mishnah says, Kol Hayom Kosher L'Kriyas HaMegillah, the whole... the whole day is kosher for reading the Megillah. In other words, we're saying that even though Zrizin Makdim in the mitzvah, even though the ideal is to do the mitzvah as early in the day as possible, nevertheless, you can still do it any time during the day. Or the Kriyas Ahalel, also for saying Hallel. Or the Tkiyas Shofar, also for blowing Shofar. Or the Natilas Lulav, taking Lulav. Or the Trilas Amusafin, also for davening Musaf. Vala Musafin, and for the Korban Musaf itself. Now, some of these things, I mean, for example, the Korban Musaf has to be brought after the Talmud Shal Shachar. So it's not like it can necessarily be any time during the day, because practically speaking, you need to bring the Talmud before it. But in other words, in principle, it's kosher any time during the day. So you have to have something else before it, but that doesn't need to change the fact that in principle, it could be brought any time during the day. So, ideally, until the seventh hour, but it can, in fact, be brought any time during the day. Another thing that can be done any time during the day is the vidui that they do on the bulls that are brought for the parhelam davashal tzibur, when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake in halacha and most of the Jewish people follow it, or when the Kohen Gadol himself makes a mistake in halacha and follows it. So they bring a special par for each of those cases, and the vidui, they lean on them and they say vidui, so that can be done any time during the day. Or the vidui meiser, another one that can be done by day, anytime during the day, is vidui meiser, what's described in Parashas Kisavai, where after you finish, you have the in the third year and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, you've given away all your trumas and meiseris and everything that you had stored up from the last couple of years, and then the last day, Pesach, of the fourth year. And of the seventh year, you make a declaration to Hashem, Be'auti HaKodesh Min Abayis, I've removed all the holy things from the house, and I've given them to the Levi and the Ger, and so on and so forth, and Hashkifam Med Kodesh. So that you can do any time during the day. Or the Vidui Yom Kippurim, also the Vidui that the Kohen Gadol does on the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, the three Viduyim that he does, can be any time during the day. Tosfos points out, I mean, since the next thing we're going to mention is smicha. Now, of course, the vidui takes place during smicha. So, of course, then, if you can do smicha the whole day, then you should be able to do vidui the whole day. Tosfos says, you would have thought that maybe this vidui cannot be done any time during the day. And in that case, maybe the smicha couldn't. But instead, we're going to learn in the Gemara that they can be done any time during the day. Next, the smicha. Doing smicha on the animal before you shecht it for the korban, the shchita, the actual shchita of the korban, the tznufa, waving, you have the korbanos mincha have to be waved, you have certain korbanos of animals have to be waved, those things can be, the waving can be done any time during the day. La hagosha, you have a korban mincha, you put it on a kli shoris, and then you take the kli shoris to the corner of the mizbeach and touch it there, to the southwest corner, so that you can do any time during the day. L'kmitza, taking the koimetz, the handful of from the mitzvah, l'aktora, and the actual burning of the koimetz on the mizbeach, l'melika, also the melika of a bird korban can be done any time during the day, or l'kabbalah, the receiving the blood of an animal korban in the basin, or l'hazoya, the actual sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach. All those things can be done any time during the day. L'ashkoya sota, also giving the sota the drink, can be done any time during the day. Ula arifa se'egla, the decapitating the egla arifa, when they find a dead body in the middle and then in the fields outside the city, and they measure for the nearest city, et cetera, so that whole ceremony can be done any time during the day. Ula taras a mitzvah, and the purification of a mitzvah, the whole thing that described at the beginning of Parashas Mitzvah with the two birds and the eight eras and ezev and so forth, that can be done any time during the day. The Gemara is going to show us one at a time. We're going to go through them and see how we know they can be done any time during the day. Next, the Mishnah continues. Kol ha'layla kosher tziras ha'omer. The entire night is kosher for harvesting the barley for the omer. Ula hekter chalav me'barim, and also for burning the fat, the leftover fats and limbs of the korbanos on the mizbeach. So those can be done any time during the night. Tosfos mentions over here that in this connection, you have in connection with Sfiras HaOmer, since Sfiras HaOmer is similar in that sense to harvesting the Omer, then it means that Sfiras HaOmer also has to definitely be done with a bracha by night, and you can't say it with a bracha by day, which is why we have the halacha that you don't say it, that if you forgot by night, then you say it by day without a bracha. So the Mishnah says, Zachval, the general rule, Dabrish mitzvah se'vayoyim kosher falayoyim, any mitzvah that the mitzvah can be accomplished any time, that the mitzvah is accomplished by day, kosher kol hayom, then it's kosher to do it any time during the day. So all the ones that we mentioned in the previous mission as well as this one, davar shemitzvos b'alayla, and mitzvahs that the mitzvah to do them is by night, kosher kol hayom, then they're kosher the whole night. The Gemara will explain. We'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, what this Zahak Klal is coming to add. What other mitzvahs are we talking about that have not been enumerated in the Mishnah that you have these rules? Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Menolon, where do we know that, so let's start with how we know that Kriyas HaMegillah is kosher any time during the day. So as we said, Anamad Aleph, Yom HaKrava, Yom HaElim, Yizkorim Menasim. As the Pasuk said, these days will be remembered and done. So once it says that it's by day, then it means it's kosher any time during the day. Again, it's the reason Makdim Lamitzvahs, but it is kosher any time during the day. No, so we said, by Yom Ma'ela, we said it means that we said on Amar Aleph. It means that's how we know that it can't be done by next.
Isn't it a drash or something else?
No, we mentioned Iskarim Menasim, that there's other drashas we learned from Itkash Sechiro La'asiya, that we have a comparison between the remembering of Purim and the doing of Purim. But no, we're focusing on the words by Yom Ma'ela. Okay, the Kriyas HaHalo, how do we know Halo can be said anytime during the day? Just the Mizrach Shemesh and Mavoya, because the Pasuk says, from the rising of the sun until it's setting. So anytime during the day. Rabbi Yosef, or Rabbi Yosef, actually it says on the side, it should be. Rabbi Yosef says you have a different source for that. The Pasuk says in Halo, Zeh HaYoim Asa Hashem. This is the day that Hashem made. So therefore, anytime during the day is kosher for it. Next, Ulam Tzilas Lulav. How do we know that Natilas Lulav can be done any time during the day? The Pasuk says you should take for yourself on the first day. So again, that means any time during the day. Midrabanan, of course, we have that, Midaraisa in the Beis Hamikdash, she took it for 7 days, and Midrabanan, Rabbi Yechiman Zakei, made the Takana after the Churban that we do it 7 days every day. Next, Ulam Tzilas Trefer. How do we know that can be done any time during the day? The Pasuk says it should be a day of Shofar blowing for you. All the Mustafin, how do we know that the Korban Mustaf can be brought any time during the day? The rule, the matter of each day on its day. So each Korban Mustaf has to be brought on its day, so therefore dafka by day. All the Trilas and Mustafin, and then how do we know that that applies to the Trila of Mustaf? Can Mustafin, Shavuot Rabbanon, because the Chachamim modeled Trilas Mustaf on the actual bringing of the Korban Mustaf itself. Next, well, the vidui parim. How do we know that the vidui parim can be done by any time during the day? The yalif kapara kapara miyam kippurim. The answer is because we learned by Xeder Shava of the word kapara from Yom Kippur. The Tanya gabi yam kippurim, because we learn in the Braista that by Yom Kippur it says v'chiper ba'adir va'ad beisai. It says he should atone for himself and for his family. That doesn't mean usually means the sprinkling of the blood, but here the Gemara explains in that connection that the word b'chipa b'ader v'ad beisai means b'kaparas dzvarim akosim medaber, means that we're talking about a kapara of words that he asks Hashem to forgive the Jewish people their averus. The reason is, because only a few psukim later does it say he shecht the end, that he shecht the curtain. So therefore, that kapara is talking about, talking about vidri, the kapara be a mamu, and that can be any time during the day. Just by Yom HaZeichafer Aleichem, it says on this day he will be mechafer for you. So once we know that applies to the vidri of Yom Kippur, then automatically that applies to the vidri of the Purim as well.
This is not coming to exclude other days. It's telling you that can.
Well, but it wouldn't need to. I mean, we already said that it's dafka on this day. So the fact that it says by Yom HaZeh means dafka by day, not by night. Okay. Well, the vidrig ma'aser. Hold on. How do we know that vidrig ma'aser can be any time during the day? You should declare in front of Hashem that I've gotten all of the kodesh out of the house and given it to wherever it's supposed to go. The samichlay, and right after that, the pasuk continues. Hayom hazeh Hashem alakecha mitzavcha. On this day, Hashem has commanded you. So therefore, that means, in other words, that the previous mitzvah that was talking about is dafka by day. Next, the smicha v'lishchita. How do we know that smicha and shchita has to be done dafka by day and any time during the day? Bichtiv v'samach v'shachat. The pasuk says you should do smicha on the korban and then you should shecht. Meaning, in other words, that one comes right after the other, takes the smicha shchita. Uchtiv ba b'shchita b'yom zichachem. Regarding the shchita, the expression, the pasuk is, on the day when you offer it. So we see that the shchita has to be done by day, and therefore necessarily the smicha has to be done by day as well. And again, any time during the day. Next. or the tnufa. How do we know that tnufa, the waving of the korban, has to be done by day? Because it says on the day that you wave the omer. So that waving, so the same thing applies to other kinds of wavings as well. Ula hagosha. How do we know that the touching of the mincha to the corner of the mizbeach is done by day? The itkash la tnufa. The reason is because you have a hekesh between that and tnufa. The pasuk says by soita, the kohen takes the minchas haknois myrrh and he waves it and he offers it. So therefore, and the offering is the touching it to the corner of the mizbeach, because only then after that does it talk about taking the chmitza in the next pasuk. So therefore, so we see that the hanofa, the waving, is the same as the hagosha, and both of them have to be done by day. Next, the next four things that we said in the Mishnah, malika of a bird carbon, the kmitza of a mincha, the burning of the koymetz on the mizbeach, and for that matter, the burning of the parts of a bird carbon, etc., and the sprinkling of the blood. How do we know that all of those have to be done by day? As the pasuk says, on the day that Hashem commanded Bnei Yisrael to bring their korban. So all of these are part of bringing the korban. So Rashi gives two explanations. Number one, all of these are the actual offering of the korban, the burning of the korban itself. That is actually offering something to Hashem. Kmitza you have is mentioned in connection with haktara, because it says v'kamach v'hiktir. So therefore, what if you have one has to be by day, so does the other. The malika is the malika and the hazoya of a bird korban is how you're offering it by squirting the blood onto the mizbeach, doing malika and squirting the blood onto the mizbeach. And the kabbalah is actually called hakrava in the pasuk. Rashi says another explanation is that all of these things that we just mentioned, kmitza, malika, etc., are all necessary prerequisites. You can't offer something on the mizbeach without doing those. As opposed to hagosha and tnufa, conceivably you could offer something on the mizbeach without doing those. Therefore, we needed a separate limud for those. Tosfos also points out we needed a separate limud for shchita, because shchita is not really an avoda. After all, a zorah can do it. For that matter, Tosfos points out tnufa and hagosha also don't really require a kohen. Only the kohen only has to take over beginning from the kmitza. So therefore, we need a different limudim for those things. Next, lashkoya soita. How do we know that giving the soita to drink has to be by day? Asya toda toda. We learn by exera shava of the word toda. Ksiv hachav asalar kohen eskar toda azos. Here, by the soita, the pasuk says the kohen should do for her all of this Torah, all of these rules. In Parshas Shoftim, it says, according to the Torah, which they teach you, and the judgment. Ma mishpat bayom. Just like judgment has to be by day, which in turn, that we learn, Rashi says, from a pasuk that talks about inheritance, where it says, v'yom hanchile es bonav, where we learn from that any mishpat has to take place by day, afkan bayom, the same way the giving the soita to drink, which is called a Torah, just like a piyat Torah, asher yerucha, has to be by day. Dinim Omenes, you have to start the Din Torah by day. You can finish it off by night, but you still have to start it during the day. And then we said Vela Arifa Se'egla. The next thing is the decapitating of the Egla Arufa has to be done by day. How do we know that? Amid Zvei Rab Yanai, they said in the Yeshiva of Rab Yanai, Kapara Ksiv of Kodshim, because the Pasuk describes it with the word Kapara, similar to Kodshim. So since we established before that Kapara takes place by day, that Kodshim have to be shechted, and the blood sprinkled, etc. that day, then the Egla Arufa, where it says Kafir La'am for Yisrael, has the same rule. And all the Kaharas Mitzvah, the last one we had was the purification of a Mitzvah, Dichtiv Zostia Teres HaMitzvah, B'yoyim Taharosai, on the day when he's made Torah. So we see that it has to be by day. Okay. And we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with the things by night, and then finish off with the Perek. Best Hashem.